Let's have a look at chapter 4, yes?
Mm-hmm.
We actually read the first verse of chapter 4 last time, because it really concludes the previous paragraph, yeah? Therefore, my dear brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy, my crown, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how you should stand is what he's been talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right, okay, so pressing on, forgetting what's behind, mm-hmm. and all of that, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So we get to verse 2 now. I plead with you, O dear, and I plead with Syntyche, to agree with each other in the Lord. Who are you, Odia and Syntyche? We don't know anything about them except from this little bit in the letter there. But you can tell one thing about them.
They're not agreeing with each other.
They're not, well, two things about them. They're not agreeing with each other, and they're women.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it women falling out?
Watch it.
Oh, I've nothing to say. I'm just saying there they are. They're falling out, these two girls. Yeah?
Well, according to a teacher when Pete was there, he said they often do, and it lasts longer than with the fellas.
Is it right?
They make it up, the girls hold a grudge for ages.
That's what he observed. Well, there you are. Well, these two ladies, it's very sad really. Paul's writing to them and he's pleading with them. I mean, this isn't just saying, come on, get together. He's actually, look, girls, come on, get together here. Yeah? I plead with you to agree with each other in the Lord. Now that's really important, because you're agreeing in the Lord, the things of God that count, the things that are important. Because you can disagree with people about all sorts of other things. Yeah?
Yeah.
Some people like their eggs boiled hard, some like them boiled soft. No problem. I can live with that. You've got the idea, but in the Lord, in the things that count, that's important, come on, we've got to agree about these things, haven't we?
Yeah.
So that's what he's getting at. So I plead with you, agree with each other in the Lord. He wants, why does he want that to happen?
There can be unity.
There can be unity, that's one thing, yes. And what's important about unity?
Jesus.
Sorry?
Jesus.
He pleases God, yes. Something else, very practical. A church won't work if there's disunity.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit can't bless when there's disunity. You put a blockage in the system, that's what disunity can do.
Yeah.
So when people are out with each other, you know, you'd sense it sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've over the years, you know, I've felt sometimes it's like preaching through treacle. You know. And then you find out somebody's fallen out with somebody else.
Yeah.
And then you wonder, why, Lord? No problem.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit's not going to do any visits when they start coming in like that, yeah?
It sounds as though it's quite bad as well. He don't plead about it.
It is bad. It's got to Paul for a start. He's obviously reached in.
Yeah.
So it's not good. They've fallen out. And the sad thing about falling out is this. Years later, you look back and think, what a waste of time.
An effort,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, he's a pleading with them. And then he says this. And I also ask you, loyal yoke fellow. Now, there's a possible impossibility. The word yoke fellow is a name called Sidigus. That's in the margin. Maybe you've seen that, have you? Yeah. He might be writing to somebody called yoke fellow in Greek, Sidigus, yeah? Or it may be he's just using a name, means chap who's working with him. I plead with you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women. Help them. How are you doing? What was it? Something you'd eaten, or?
It wasn't my cooking.
Would I blame your cooking, Andy?
Well, she did it away.
Do you want to put your coat round you? Look to keep yourself warm. We don't be getting a chill now.
Oh, gosh.
We've got to these old ones, you know. You're burning up, Abby. You might start getting chilled up.
Yeah.
Just round your shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right.
Okay.
Bless you.
Yeah.
Let's carry on. Yes. We were just talking about women falling out, Jean.
Oh, yeah, going out.
Yeah. But blokes do this as well. You knew about though, didn't you? They can fall out as well. Yeah. But anyway, here they are, these two ladies, and he calls on some of the other people in the church to get alongside and try and help them to get things sorted. And he says, I ask you, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. These ladies have been key workers.
Mm.
They've been working alongside Paul in that sense, and possibly the idea is that they were part of the leadership in the church. We call them deacons, don't we? Direct deaconesses is the female, but it's the same word. Yeah. So they were people, were important people, and they are working alongside Paul. And now Paul's gone. What do you think made them fall out? I mean, it's complete speculation.
Boys.
The sort of things.
They have to be boys.
Boys.
Not men. No.
All women are.
No. Not in this. I don't think it was in this situation.
Position. Yeah.
Or it's my job, that one. Yeah. Not your job, sort of thing. You know. And we fall out about he's got that job and she's got this job and what about me, sort of thing. You know?
I was talking to a Church of England vicar once, and there were two ladies in his church. They were arguing about the flowers.
Mm.
And one parent, I suppose, was particularly argumentative, so he said to her, that's just that one, got on her and said to her, one of us has got to go and it's not going to be me.
Oh, right.
And it was
another
very different way to
go. Well, yes. Oh, well, there you go.
Mm.
Well, Paul doesn't want them to go. He wants them to get together, get their heads sorted out.
Right.
And I think it's not about boys on this occasion. It's about position, how they appear, their job. And it's not your job. You're serving one another. That's what it's about.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about Dennis. One of the things I noticed years ago was, I was too well. Dennis can get in so many ways. You know, there was a woman there, and I knew a bit of history, but even if, you know, some times of the year, she'd seem really off.
Right.
But, you know, her husband had died when she's about 30, and there's a reason. So there are all sorts of things going on like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she could be really off, though.
Mm.
But, you know, if you knew...
Yeah, you'd make allowances to some degree then, yeah.
But it hurts, doesn't it, when you don't know what...
No.
Why or
well, they may have been offended, that's a possibility, isn't it? Something's got in the way, and Paul wanted to get it out of the way. So he asks these guys, this loyal York fellow, Zigigus or whatever, to help. And he also says, not only have they been their helpers, but along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the Book of Life. So Clement and others are at this church in Philippi as well, by the looks of it. Clement's a very important person in the history of the church, if it's the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
He became quite a prominent figure in the early church.
Mm-hmm.
They're just ordinary people, in a sense, with God's jobs to do, I suppose. And so he says, come on, let's work together to try and sort this one out. Sometimes it's not possible. Some people just don't want to get sorted out, it seems, and they have to go their different ways then.
Well,
it's sad that it happens, isn't it? Yeah?
Yes.
That happened with Paul and Barnabas, remember?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, so the lads fall out as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, there we are. Okay, verse 4. Oh no, that was names are in the Book of Life. What does he mean that names are in the Book of Life? Has God got a book with the names written in? It's a picture language, but basically it's saying these are the saved. Your name's in the Book of Life means you're saved. That's the point, yeah? Good, eh? And why does he use the term the Book of Life then? Why does he talk about a book?
Because it's Revelation that you talk about.
Yes, yeah. Why the idea of a book? I think it's a very precious thought, if you don't mind me saying. Sorry?
It should be a scroll.
Yeah. On a scroll, you count the word scroll or whatever. Mm-hmm. Let me put it this way. If you're working on your computer, right, and you've written something on the page, on the screen, and the power goes, you've lost the lot.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah? Mm-hmm. If it's written on the page, it's there.
There, right.
Yes, I think it's the idea of permanence. Yeah, something that's there, permanent. God's not going to forget it anyway, but you've got the idea. There's a security in the fact that it's written, yeah, which I like. Yeah, good to have your name written in the Book of Life. You're saved, that's the point. These are the people who are saved, he's writing to. And then he comes on to this lovely theme, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. That's stereo for you.
Yes.
Rejoice in the Lord. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Important. Why does he say rejoice in the Lord? Because there's plenty of things around that you don't want to rejoice in.
Yeah.
Yeah? But it's rejoicing in the Lord. We've always got God to thank for something. There's always something about God that'll be a blessing.
Yes.
Yeah. So he says rejoice in the Lord. You've been thankful. Important. an attitude of thankfulness. It opens windows, really, into your soul, joy, yeah? So rejoice in the Lord. That doesn't mean to say you're happy about the bad things. No, it's not. That's not what it's about, yeah? So we're rejoicing in the Lord, always, yes, all the time. And I'll say it again, rejoice. Why does he repeat himself? Because we're deaf, that's why we don't like it. Yeah? Keep rejoicing in the Lord. Right, and then this, let your gentleness be evident to all. Well, that applies to the audience, syndicate as well, of course.
Yes.
Let your gentleness, you know, yes, the idea of not being around to push yourself forward in a way, you know, you go about things in a gentle way.
Mm-hmm.
Let it be evident to all. That means you're showing everybody how humble you are, is that right? Mm-hmm. Well, not quite. They'll see it. You're not saying, you know, you're not there to show yourself off, but they'll pick it up because of the way you behave, yeah?
Humility isn't about yourself, it's honouring Jesus.
Very good, I like that, yes. That answer, yes, Lord.
I was just saying, being Christ-like.
Yeah. Let your gentleness be evident to all.
If you're rejoicing in the Lord always as well, it should take that previous dimension.
Yeah.
Lift it up,
yes.
Shouldn't it?
Yeah. We're recognizing God in all of these things, yeah? Right, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. What does he mean? The Lord is near. Does he mean Jesus is coming back tomorrow?
No.
I don't think, he might have thought that, because he didn't know as much as we don't know how soon Jesus is coming back. But I don't think that's what he's getting at there. When he says the Lord is near, his presence is around, yes. He's close. He sees. He understands. He knows what's going on.
Yes.
Yeah. The presence of God.
He said the other way. He's in here, but up there.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Lord is near. Now, and this is a great verse, this. Do not be anxious about anything.
Proverbs, isn't it?
Do not be anxious.
Yeah.
Because Paul said he was anxious earlier on in the letter. Anxious about his brothers and sisters, yeah? But what does he mean about being anxious here? It doesn't mean the same thing about being anxious.
No.
Anxious, well, it reminded me that, but I think there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
The idea of anxiousness is things that get in the way and weigh you down and cut off your connection with the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, it's the what will happen if? How's it going to work out? Oh dear, what about tomorrow? Sort of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
How will I manage? How will I cope? Yeah. That's the anxiety is bubbling up. And it takes your attention off. And this is one of the devil's tactics. The devil wants to do two things. He'll either make you worry about the past.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I've blown it. I've messed up. And all that. Or he'll make you worry about the future. How is it going to work out? How am I going to cope? And the reason he wants you to think about the past or the future is he doesn't want you thinking about living for the present. Because that's when it matters. Think of today, serving the Lord today, that's what it's about. So don't be anxious, don't worry about what's coming and all of that. Don't be anxious about anything, but what do you do? What's the cure for it? Yeah? But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. There's one translation, he says, worry about nothing, pray about everything. And that's pretty good, yeah? And he says with prayer and petition, those sort of talking to God, and what's a petition? It's a request. There are things you need, things you want to ask God about. You can bring those. So you bring all these requests and these prayers. Do you do that?
Yeah.
Or do you only do that when you've got problems?
No.
Do you thank the Lord when you've got good stuff as well?
Yeah.
Or you ask the Lord to help you before you start something?
I do.
Good, right, that's good. Yeah. Bring your requests before God. I've lost my place now. Yes, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So you bring your requests to God. Why do you say thank you? We're grateful for what he's done.
Yeah.
But you're actually asking God to do things and you say thank you.
Yeah.
That's one of the things. Expecting an answer, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the answers for it. Say, being thankful about that.
Yeah.
But the other is, I'm very grateful I can talk to God about anything that he's there to talk to about. And the other is that he's able to do something about it, and even if he doesn't do it my way, I can trust him, he'll sort it out his own way. So you can be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfulness helps our faith, I guess, really.
Yeah.
God's been good in the past, And so what he's answered in the past can be a spur to praying about what's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Right? So you bring your requests with thankfulness. Good! Now you present your requests.
I've just got that son Jesus be the centre
of them all. Ah, right. Well, that's what it's about, isn't it? Yeah. Yes? Bring your requests to God. That's the place to bring them.
Yeah.
So you bring all your prayers to God, you ask God to help and all of that. And then what happens? Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. We've got peace with God through faith in Jesus. That's not what it's about. It's not peace with God. It's the peace of God. What's the peace of God? It's God's sense of it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I've got it in hand. I'll handle this one. Yeah, that's the peace. You don't need to panic and get anxious and worry about it. So the peace of God that transcends all understanding. It's a great phrase that, which means can't explain it. That's the idea. You've explained it very well, Ron Flatman. Yes, yes. Transcends all understanding means you really can't understand how it happens. That's really what he's getting at.
Yes.
You don't know why or how you can sense this peace, because all around is going crazy, but somehow you're at peace in the middle of a storm.
Yeah.
How?
We know.
Because God's doing it, that's why. It's not understandable, but it's experienceable. It's not a good word, is it? I've made that one up, I think. You've got the idea. But you've got the one I'll say. You can't figure out why, but... And I remember a lady some years ago. She'd gone to the... She was expecting, and she'd got some news from one of the doctors at the hospital saying there were probably issues about the baby, you know. And she was saying to me, she says, you know, Dennis, I ought to be worried, but I really do feel at peace about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the little boy that came was absolutely beautiful.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Omar. You know Omar?
Oh yeah.
Big strong lad now.
Yeah.
His mum was worried about him. The doctor said there might be something wrong. Well, there was nothing wrong. Well, if there was something wrong, God fixed it, whatever it was. The peace of God beyond all our understanding. Yeah. So, there we go. It's peace of God will, what does it do? Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Mm.
It sets a garrison around it, yeah, protecting you. So it guards your minds and your hearts in Christ Jesus. Your hearts and your minds, what's the difference between your heart and your mind?
Not a lot.
I think there is.
Yeah.
The minds are your thoughts,
yes.
And your heart is your feelings, I suggest.
Yes.
Is that in this phrasing here?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, well, maybe you've said this, you know, I can reason I ought to be calm, but I don't feel calm.
Mm.
Yeah? Have you been there?
Yeah.
Logic tells me I've nothing to worry about, but I'm worrying all the same. Yeah?
Drop down into your
heart. Yeah? Now, what you say is, logic tells me I've nothing to worry about, and my heart says the same. Yeah. I think that's your heart and mind.
Yeah.
Chris is not too sure about it.
The word heart.
Yes?
To mean your feelings.
Yes.
You can do that, yes.
Your feelings aren't actually.
No, I understand that, yeah.
It's all in your mind.
It's all in the mind.
Yeah.
Well, interesting, you say that, but there's a verse, the Bible uses the phrase, his stomach turned, it moved, yeah?
Yeah.
And it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's connected by the vagus nerve to all the guts and dribbly bits, they can affect how you feel.
Where does the nerve start?
It's in the central column of your spine. It doesn't necessarily go to your head.
Yeah.
The central control system's also in your spine as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your heart's got its own little computer as well.
Yes.
As well, does it?
Yeah.
Okay. But it controls all the guts.
Yeah.
My dear wife had hers cut
when
she had her cancer operation, so her tubes don't do the job that they should.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there's something else. Yeah. It was necessary.
Yeah.
There you are. Right. Heart and mind, we've got the idea anyway, yes?
Yeah.
Your thoughts, your feelings, what you are as a person will be guarded in Christ Jesus. He's your defence, isn't that wonderful? Yeah? Finally, brothers, do you know what finally means here? It does mean, we had finally before.
Mm-hmm.
Finally before didn't mean anything, but yes? It means...
It finally means finally.
Summing up, getting things together, that's the idea. Last thoughts. Last thoughts is where we're at, really, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Finally, brothers, and he's talking to these Christians he loves, yeah? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Yeah? Do you know that verse really ought to be in every home?
Yes.
Because the stuff that people put into their heads messes them up.
Yes.
Yeah? He's saying, if you wanna have nightmares, watch horror films before you go to bed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If you wanna be upset, yeah, just watch people who argue all the time.
Watch
neighbours. Or watch EastEnders. I mean, everybody's arguing all the time. You want to feed that into your head, you start doing the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, whatever's lovely, whatever's true, whatever's good, feed that in, and you'll start finding it makes a difference. Is that right?
Yeah.
Are you all soap fans? I don't watch soaps at all.
No, neither do I.
No. Yeah, but
the end of Line of Duty tonight.
Is it? The end of Line of Duty. Well, there you are.
I watch it as a casualty.
Do you? Well, I have a hospital background, you would, of course. Yeah. But you've got the idea. Whatever's good, whatever's, you know, the good stuff, feed that in. There is, you probably don't know this, an old computer term called WYSIWYG. Or WYSIWYG, if you want to say it. What you see is what you get.
Right.
Yes, that's one of the things. Yeah, it doesn't normally work that way in computers, you know. What you see on the screen doesn't necessarily mean what you get coming out on the printers or whatever, yeah? Yeah, that's one of the things. So there's a correspondence between what's in there and what comes out. Yeah. That's one of the things. But there's another thing with computing, and it's this. Garbage in,
garbage out.
Garbage out. Yeah, and that's especially true in programming. Yeah? You know, I remember there was in a programming book I read years ago. He said, when the computer does something weird, you know, you're writing a program for it to put something on the screen or write something or whatever. When the computer does something weird, just remember it's doing exactly what you told it to do, not what you wanted it to do.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in other words, you put garbage in,
garbage
out. Yeah. And that's true in life. Put the rubbish in, and it'll start coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, where do all these kids learn these beautiful words in the playground?
Yeah.
Yeah. They picked them up from somewhere. They didn't invent them, did they?
Yeah.
Garbage in, garbage out. So whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, think about that, because your mind is really the key to your life, or part of it anyway. Your heart, it would say as well, but God works through your mind to get to your heart. And whatever you put into your head is going to make a difference. Yeah? There we are.
That takes me straight back to my school. I think every day the headmistress would probably read that book.
Would she?
Yeah.
All right.
Mm. I can see her.
A good education there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he says this, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. I said this before, but there are not many people that could say that, I don't think. Well, we try, don't we, yeah?
Yeah.
But he's really saying is, you know, I've modelled what I've taught.
Mm.
Yes? What you've seen in me is what I teach. Paul wasn't the people that says, don't do as I do as I say.
Mm.
That wasn't Paul.
No,
he's
no.
saying you can do as I do because I'm doing what I say as well.
Yeah.
What you've seen, put it into practice, and the result will be the God of peace will be with you. Now, what's the difference between the peace of God and the God of peace?
One is a feeling and the other one is a way you know God's with you.
Yeah. The peace of God is God's the feeling that God gives you.
Yes.
So that's a gift of God.
Mm-hmm.
But the God of peace is God himself.
Yeah.
Right. In a sense he's saying is, you know, all of these things God gives you, but you know what the real top of the list is? God himself comes to you and he helps you and he blesses you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important, isn't it, really? To have God in you. You know, if you've got God, you've got the package, really.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he's telling us. Do all this, be thankful, rejoice in the Lord.
Is that a peace which surpasses all understanding? You know it's there.
Yes. But it's more than that peace that passes understanding. You're aware of God's presence.
Yeah.
And that makes all the difference.
Yeah. But you know somehow it's immovable.
There's a permanence about it, yes.
Yeah.
Right, so, finally, well, it doesn't say finally now, this is the concluding bit. I rejoice greatly in the Lord. Well, he does what he's been telling people.
Yes.
I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you've been concerned, but had no opportunity to show it.
Mm-hmm.
What have they done? They've sent him a gift. That's what they've done. This is the Philippians he's writing to.
Yes.
And he's saying, I'm really glad that you had chance now to renew your concern for me. They'd heard that he was in need, he was in prison, needed support, needed help, and they sent a gift along to help him. And they sent it through this guy called Epaphras, is it? Epaphroditus? I can't remember his name now. The lad that was really ill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Epaphroditus?
Epaphroditus, yeah.
He brought the stuff. And so he's saying thank you to the people. He says, I'm really glad that you've shown your concern for me. Yeah?
Yeah.
And then he says this, verse 11 is a really important one. I am not saying this because I am in need. The danger is, you see, Paul was, they might understand Paul as saying is, I'm so glad you sent me some money. I'd like some more.
Yeah.
He's not saying that.
No.
Mm. No. And there's always the danger of that when people give, you know, it gives the impression, that's very good, carry on.
Yes,
you know. But that's not what I'm, it's not what it's about. Mm. He's not saying, it's not that I'm not, I don't want, it's not your money I'm interested in.
Yeah.
It's the fact that you're doing what God wants you to do. That's what I'm glad about.
Yes.
And he says, I'm okay, I'm doing alright. I'm not saying this because I am in need. Well, he was in need, wasn't he? I mean, in prison, you know, it wasn't a first-class place there where he was staying. He was in a Roman prison, yeah? For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances.
Mm.
I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Well, it says, I've learned the secret to be content. I know what it is to have plenty.
Mm-hmm.
The days when the sun's shining, the table's full, everything's in the garden's rosy. And I know what it is to be in trouble when I've got nothing, absolutely nothing. He says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation.
Yes.
Content.
Yes.
Well, how about that? Mm. That's a very rare thing, let me tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
People being content with where they are and what they've got.
They have, yeah.
Because the adverts, this is where the adverts work. The adverts are designed to make you discontented.
Yes. Yes.
Because they want you to give away your hard-earned money to them
yes.
in order to you get some junk that won't be any good.
No.
It might help, but you know what I mean. You've got the idea.
Yes. Yeah.
So the advertisers are out there to make you discontented with what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and he's facing the truth, he's in need, but he's still trusting.
Yes.
And
what is that's what I'm coming at. How does he manage to be content in any and every situation? Let me just, before we get to that though, one thing is when you're really in need, you know, that can be difficult.
Yes.
It's tough, yeah. But what about when you've got a lot and things are going really great? What's the danger in that?
To holding on to it.
Sorry?
Holding on to it.
Holding on to it, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
All of a sudden you've got all of this, you think, oh, how do I keep it all? Who's going to nick it and all that sort of thing? That's one of the things.
You forget God.
Yeah.
I can manage now, Lord.
Yeah.
Don't call me.
Yeah.
I'll call you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite possible.
Find your way
and trust. He's warning about the dangers.
Yes.
Yeah, the dangers of being in need. It comes in Proverbs.
Yes.
There's one in the end of Proverbs. He says, Lord, don't give me poverty and don't give me riches.
Mm.
Don't make me poor, otherwise I might be tempted to steal and dishonor God.
Yes.
Yeah. And don't give me too much because I might forget God.
Yes.
He says, give me my daily bread.
Yeah.
Just enough for now is all I need.
Yes.
And just enough for anything. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's why God says, give us today our daily bread. We're dependent on Him, but it means that we're always looking to Him rather than worrying about everything around us and being trapped by it all. Man, there's another verse, and I often think of this when I go in the loft. Man's life, or a lady's life, anybody's life, does not consist, this is the words of Jesus, man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. All your stuff isn't you.
You know, like when somebody dies and there's all this stuff,
yes,
people are like, oh, I'll have that.
Yes.
And it's really funny because there's been passed down the family. So, Ange, do you want this? Do you want that? Because you know it's Nan's. And I'm like, no, I don't want it.
No.
Oh, but it was Nanny's. And I'm like, no, yeah, but I thought it doesn't matter. It's not Nan.
No, it's not Nan. Yeah, that's right.
And I think they think I'm a bit funny because I don't want anything. Because I don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't need it. It'll just sit in the cupboard.
Yeah.
Because it was Nan.
Yeah. Strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know, I saw there was a programme on about the National Trust. It was to do with Beatrix Potter. And this lady, Beatrix Potter, got into merchandising. She was a brilliant, brilliant businesswoman. Really, she was the top. A bit like J.K. Rowling today, you know.
Yeah.
She really made a vast fortune, which she used to buy land for the nation. I mean, she was a very generous lady. Yeah? But all these little models of rabbits and stuff like that, they're quite collector's items.
Yeah.
And they showed you this lady, interviewed her, I think she's an American lady, but anyway, they showed her, and she collected every single type of one that was available, and it showed you her display cabinet. You couldn't see half of it, it was all packed with these things at the back, and it, why?
She just paid over £6,000.
Stuff.
I can remember once when I was matron at this hospital, and this girl, they wanted to buy me a present. What do you collect? I said, I don't collect anything.
Yeah.
And I said, well, we want to give it. I said, look, you could give me anything. I said, I do not collect things.
Right.
You know, and that's it. I don't collect, you know, like the holding.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's nice to have stuff.
Yeah.
But just remember, that's not you, it's not your life.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And, right, so Paul's learned the secret of having stuff and not having stuff.
Yeah.
How's he managed to do that? What's the secret of contentment? The key to it, I think.
And thanking.
It'd be thankful.
Yeah. And if we know, but I think God does give us things to enjoy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, there's a verse. God gives us all things richly to enjoy.
Well, Angela's pottery, they're the joy.
Yes.
But
and we see the artistry in it, and we enjoy those things.
Yeah,
I'm not denying that.
Give it away.
Yeah, I'm not denying that. But I'd rather have Angela than her pot.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's it.
But you've got the idea. That's the thing, yeah. Yeah. Just to come back to this, I think the key to what Paul is doing is he's learned something. He says, I've learned the secret of being content. The secret is this. He says it in Romans. In everything, God's working for good for those who love Him. So Paul knows, no matter whether it's no stuff or lots of stuff, God somewhere in this is looking after him and caring about him and got a plan for him.
Yeah.
And that really takes the edge off all this stuff. Yeah. Yeah? So I've learned the secret. It doesn't come natural. No, it doesn't come natural. Because, I mean, the world's trying to make you discontented all the time. Yeah.
But continue to pray, and I think that helps.
Yes, oh yes. Right, I've learned the secret. So, where have I got to? Yes, I can do all. Yes, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Now here's a very misunderstood verse. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Now what Paul doesn't mean is that he can fly off the roof if he jumps off. Yeah? Right? Or he can be a rocket scientist. Yeah? He doesn't mean that. What does he mean, I can do everything?
Everything that God wants
me to do, I can do. And there may be things that God wants you to do, you think, can't do that, Lord. But you know God wants you to do it. He says, I'll be with you, I'll show you, I'll get you through. Yeah, that's what he's getting at. So those situations where God has us serving him, they may seem impossible. But God enables us to do these things through him. Gives us strength. So you need to be wise when people say, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. It's about what God wants you to do.
Yeah.
Not whether you start driving around in a Rolls Royce or something.
Yeah.
You've got the idea.
Have we said it? My mind has been at Tandy. Now, when Paul wrote about the words just before on 11 and 12, he was in a Roman prison waiting to be executed, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
And he did, you know, instead of complaining, he was accepting the reality of it.
Yes. But he's looking beyond the prison doors, he's looking to these Philippians and saying, I'm so glad God's working in you.
Yeah.
I'm really rejoicing in that. And this is what he's saying, a thank you to them, because they are a testimony to what God's done through Paul. They're an encouragement to him. As you'll see, verse 14, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Well, that's, it's nice to say thank you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Appreciate what someone said, don't we? Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. And so he's saying, in the very early days when I arrived in Europe to share the gospel, your church was the one that supported me. One of Paul's policies was he wouldn't ask for gifts from the church, the place where he was ministering, so that people would say he's only here for the money.
Yeah.
Yeah? That was one of his important points that he made. Yeah? But he needed support, and the church that he'd come from sent him support. And the Philippians sent, it says, he was in Macedonia, he said, for even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Interesting. God prompted these Philippians to send help to Paul 100 miles. I don't know if you knew that, but from where Philippi is to Thessalonica is 100 miles. That's quite a commitment, because they couldn't send it by telex or anything else like that. They had to personally send the stuff.
Yeah.
So that's what they did. And it's interesting that Paul says he had needs. Yeah. There's a lovely bit in Acts. It's in Acts chapter 2. He says, there was no needy person among them, for every need was met.
Yeah.
And then he says about those that were in need, people sold property or gave gifts to others to support them.
Yeah.
So there were needs,
yeah,
but they weren't needs that lasted very long, because people cared for each other.
Yeah.
You got the idea. So Paul says, that was in need. Yes, that's genuine.
Yeah.
I prayed about it, and you blessed me. God answered by you sending help. Then he says, just to remind them again, not that I'm looking for a gift,
mm-hmm,
but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he says, I'm not in it for the money. I don't want your money.
Yeah.
I want to see you responding how God made you to do that.
It can be time, can't it?
Well, all sorts of things, yes. That's right,
yeah.
So I'm not looking for a gift, that's not what it's about,
yeah,
but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. So when it comes to the final glory, God will be able to say to the Philippians,
yeah,
well done, you supported my servant,
yeah,
Paul. And Paul will be glad about that. Not because he got the gift, but because they got the blessing. Yeah?
Yeah.
I have received full payment, and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. So he's saying, yeah, you bless me. I want to say thank you. It's really great. And the interesting thing, you read it in Corinthians.
Yeah.
Do you think the church in the church in Philippi was very flush?
No, I wouldn't think.
No, it wasn't. In Corinthians, he says this: out of their, he uses them as an example. Out of their exceeding poverty, they gave above what they were able to give.
Yeah.
They were generous people.
Yeah.
That's the thing today, the poorest people give
yeah.
the generous, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's strange, isn't it, yeah? Because the stuff has got hold of the ones that have got more, you know?
Yeah.
There you are. So these people sent a gift by Epaphroditus, and he says about this, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. So he's describing what they've done, their giving, as a type of offering. You know, as they did these aroma things on the altars, they put the special spices and things,
yeah,
and burnt them as a fragrant offering.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that's what your gift's like to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blessing. God enjoys that. Yeah,
mm-hmm,
yeah. And verse 19 again, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches,
mm-hmm,
in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a good verse for an American.
Mm-hmm.
My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And he will. I mean, it's the verse in the Bible. But all your needs and all your wants.
Yeah.
And just get the difference between those,
yeah,
because that's pretty important.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's necessary is what God has promised to provide. But that doesn't mean to say he'll provide all your wants. Because
no,
he knows what's good for you.
Exactly.
I mean, if a little child comes to you, or you came to me and said, I'd like to have 20 ice creams. Yes? What do you think?
No.
Because if you did, you'd be sick.
Yeah.
You reserve the right to say no for their good.
Yeah.
And God's the same. Lord, I want, I want, I want. Well, I'll give you this, but the rest, no. Because it's not for your good.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll meet all your needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a promise.
Yeah.
Though we can get pretty into
quite tight corners sometimes.
Yes.
But God can come through. There's a lovely example of that with Elijah, of course. Mm. During the time of the famine in Israel, God provided for Elijah. He told him to go down to the brook Kerith.
Yes.
And while he was down there, how did God provide for him? The ravens brought in food,
yes,
and there was water in the stream.
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't, well, it wasn't royal food in a sense,
no,
but it was food.
Mm.
And then when that ran out,
yes,
God said, go up north to the lady up there at Zarephath and ask her to make you a dinner after the last bit of meal and stuff she's got in the oil. And when they get there, he says that, and she makes him it. She was obedient, it was interesting. And he said, I'll give you a promise. God says, the meal won't run out, the oil won't run out until the famine ends. And it didn't. There's a lovely example of that in Corrie ten Boom's hiding place. In the, that during the time they were in the concentration camp, there was one of the ladies was pregnant. And they got a bottle of vitamins, multivitamins I think it was. Yeah. And they gave that lady a drop of multivitamins every day while she was pregnant. It never ran out. God knows how to do things.
It reminds me when I was in Paraguay, because you know, you go out there, you've got your provision of money, you've got the toys, you've got all this, and you go there, and then because I was there for a longer time, it gets to the stage after a couple of months, you start to see the reality of how they really, really live. Because anyone can put up a show for a few weeks or a month, but when you get there longer, and I think into the second month, one day I was thinking, well, what are we going to eat today? Because I might have had money still in the bank,
but
you can't get to the bank
because
they've not got the transport with the petrol and
everything
was like really, and I thought, well, what are we going to eat today? And I was looking and I thinking, well, all I've got is the same as I had yesterday. They've got flour, they've got sugar, they've got oil, and eggs, because they have to chicken.
Well, so good,
we
could make
up the battery things and we were eating bread and eggs.
But
so that's how they keep.
That's really good nutrition though, you know.
Yeah, it is good nutrition.
Yeah. But it's a bit boring.
It's happening as well. So a lot of the adults, you know, they're all quite big, you know.
Okay.
And you think, well, how can they be big if they're hungry?
Yes.
You know, but it's because they're eating what they've got, which
carbs,
is actually quite fattening.
Yeah.
But we've had that, and then the flour was running out, and I was thinking, oh no. And then I got ill, that's when I was pretty ill. And I remember laying in bed, and I was thinking, well, that's it, you know. And
don't need to eat now.
And then I'm going to that. There's always my shepherd. I fell on that one.
You know,
I'm thinking, I'm
going to
die.
Bit dramatic,
isn't it? It wasn't that at all. It was like, it was all about actually being still and being with him and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there was a knock at the door. One of the ladies that lived on site, who again, she was level, nothing, came with a bowl of soup for me. You know, it was really lovely. That happened so much.
Yeah.
And then a couple of days after that, they got a big delivery from the Mennonites in the mountains with all sorts of fruit and stuff.
Okay.
A massive great bale of honey, you know, and it was amazing. The
God's
provision. And when you're living by faith in that way, and things
you really come, just as they need it.
Wow, it's incredible.
Well, that's verse 19. Yeah. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ. And I can assure you, his glorious riches in Christ are rather abundant.
Yeah.
He's not short.
But a person in Paul's position might not have heard, quite a lot of other people say, you know, they find it hard to expect what was on offer, wouldn't they? I think a lot of people do. What comes along. I mean, I've heard several people over the years.
It's difficult to receive, is that what you mean?
Yeah. You know, I've heard several people say, look, I wanted something, I was looking one way and God provided another way.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to see it at first, they didn't want to accept it.
Right.
That was it. It's the same with help sometimes.
Yeah. No, I thought you meant, is this what you mean? You know, that it's easy, if we feel good to give, but where we're in a situation where someone wants to give to us, that's jolly hard at times.
Yeah.
But you must allow them the feeling of
That's right. That's how the Lord works, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, last little bit then. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. I'll say amen to that.
Amen,
yes. So God gets the praise, forever. And then, last little bit at the end of the letter. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. Now, who are the saints? They're Christians.
Yeah.
They're the Christians who are alive.
Yeah.
They're not Christians that on stained glass windows.
No.
Yeah, you got the idea, that's the importance. Yeah. They, I mean, the Christians on stained glass windows were saints and are saints, but they're not around now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But saints are people who are set apart for Jesus. Saints in Christ, Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. So Paul's not on his own, he's got other fellow believers around with him as well. They send their greetings. The church had some really interesting sort of networks. I mean, we talk about social media now, but the early church seemed to keep up contact with others all over the place. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Now, Caesar's household could be the slaves and all the gang, you know.
Yeah.
But they were in a very special position in a way, you know. They were quite high-ranking slaves, I suppose you call them.
Yeah.
And so they've become Christians, and they send their greetings.
Mm.
Yeah. See, God had penetrated right at the top there, you see. So they send their greetings. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So he's asking God to bless
them. Amen.
Dennis, I just thought of something else as well, because I mean, Paul was in a position of showing, when he went quite a lot of places in the gospel, that he worked, didn't he?
Oh yes, he did. Yeah.
So I was just sort of—it was just a thought that that would have gone round or tittle tap, just like some disposition and something that they had might come round today. But it's important that if you hear like the Philippians to give.
Yeah.
You take up what God says. You give. It's not what he's seen, it's what God says.
Yes.
You know. Cause
and they were touched. They really experienced the grace of God.
Mm.
Paul had blessed them.
Yeah.
And as a result, they wanted to express their thankfulness.
Yeah.
That's what it was about.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the ways of saying thank you was to help Paul to tell other people about Jesus.
Yeah.
That's, they were involved in the mission. That's right. So when we send their greetings, I often say to visiting friends, you know, when you go back to your church, tell them the Martians send their greetings. We're from March, you see. Martians.
I heard someone say once that it said Paul was a tent maker, and in fact the tent was the prayer shawl to make the tent to pray. Because the tent would be enormous.
Well, it would be. I think he was a literal tent maker rather than a shawl.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what he was.
Because they're enormous, aren't they?
Well, yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's hard work. Yeah.
One
of the important things about the Jewish teaching was you learned a trade. You didn't just learn books and numbers and stuff. You learned how to use your hands.
Yeah. We made an awning for a big tent once,
did you?
We were young with my father. Yeah, we had got
somebody had to make them. Paul worked with Priscilla and Aquila. They were tent makers. So I mean, it wasn't just a single-handed job, I don't think, you know. Good, right, well, carry on tent making. Whatever particular tent your shape does take shape as, Alright, let's pray. Lord, thank you for Paul and the lessons he's got to teach us, Lord, and the joy he had in seeing these Christians in Philippi going on with Jesus in such a wonderful way. The generous hearts they had, the willingness to want to help Paul in his need. And Lord, thank you, you are a God who provides and supplies. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in you in all situations, Lord. Not because we're thankful for the horrible things that are around us, but we're thankful for the God who can be with us in them. Lord, bless us and help us to be a light and a shining light in this sad and dark world at times. Lord, we bless you that we can learn the secret of contentment in our circumstances because we've got you, Lord. Whatever else they may take away, they can't take Jesus from us, Lord. And we say thank you, Lord, when we've got Jesus, ultimately we're going to have everything. So we want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your love. And bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.